Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Time now to leap into the dizzying world of new media and social media, and as usual, as always, there is much to catch up on and cover with our Open House guru, Steve Krieger. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you, Lee.
Great to talk. So let's kick off with very much a sign of our times, actually, with Facebook and its implications and impact on marriage and intimacy.
I remember chatting to a pastor at a church a number of years ago, and he was reflecting on the relationship that he pursued with his wife when they were dating. And he used to drive up from Canberra to Sydney, or might have been the other way around, to see his wife every weekend. And the rest of the time, they would communicate via letter. And this was obviously some years ago.
I remember those days.
But that's changed, and I think we all notice this a little bit on Facebook as our relationships change, as communication changes. But there's been an observation that married couples are much more public in how they relate to one another, particularly on Facebook. So things like "you're the best husband in the world," or even, you know, announcing a pregnancy, even some of the difficulties that you might experience in a relationship are voiced publicly on this channel. And so some people have been questioning how good this is. Last time we chatted, we considered, you know, how much of a filter do we place around our communications? And people are asking, you know, what kind of intimacy should be expressed on social media? So even in the public sphere of just, say, physical affection, there's some boundaries that we don't cross. You know, holding hands in public is fine, but, you know, when you look at people kind of going a bit further, we kind of turn away. But Facebook, again, people are much more comfortable doing far more private things than they would have ever done in the past.
Yeah. Also, and probably not surprisingly, we're more and more finding out the degree of impact that technology is having on families, how it's influencing them.
That's right. So there was some research that came out from the Barna Group over in the US discovered, surprisingly, that parents are actually spending as much time using technology and online than their teens and their tweens. So in the past, we might have thought, oh, well, you know, technology is just for the younger people. But parents increasingly spending more time on TV, on their smartphones, even on Facebook. This isn't just a phenomenon that's affecting younger people. And this is something Facebook notices, you know, as the increasing demographics, particularly you know, in Australia, they notice, you know, growing demographic of 40-plus women. And so the same is to be said for all types of technology and how these are infiltrating the family. A couple of, I guess, thought provokers for parents and for families is that most families, one out of three parents commented that they didn't have any specific times during the week where they had made a conscious choice to disconnect from or turn off technology, so just to have a break. And that's one of the most useful things we can do with all the benefits of technology, is just to have a break from it sometimes so that it doesn't consume our lives.
Yes.
Some people refer to this as a digital Sabbath. And there was a group in the US last year who launched what's called the Sabbath Manifesto, helping us to be more reflective by having deliberate times in our week or even our day where we don't consume technology. And I guess the second point on this is that most parents also reflected that they had never received any teaching, either in a church or religious context or in some other kind of public forum like a school, about how families can best use media, entertainment, or technology.
Yeah.
So there's been very little, as technology usage has grown, the education around how to use that and what are the positive and negative things that we need to look out for.
I guess it's hardly surprising, because as soon as you've perhaps created a course to teach people about that, it's about 2 years out of date.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been talking for the last couple of years to schools and at churches about for parents and how they can keep their kids safe online and learn this technology. And I've noticed just how quickly the technology's changed and how difficult it is to stay on top of, you know, what all these developments are.
Yes.
So I sympathise with parents.
I think one of the most stunning recent examples of how social media is changing so much of the world was the sale of Instagram.
just huge. It's hard to understand the scale of this kind of purchase, but and just recently, Facebook purchased a product called Instagram. Instagram is a tool that you use on your smartphone to take photos. You can add a filter to that photo if you like, changing how it appears, and then you can upload it to a social media channel and share that image with your friends. Now, Facebook bought this product for $1 billion. It only has, I think, around 12 staff. They've never made a single dollar from this product. They've got 30 million users, and the product is, you know, about 550 days old when it was purchased. And Facebook has realized the potential of this product, and they wanted to kind of bring it into their stable. I think the big thing that this purchase highlights and makes us aware of is just how important smartphones are. Yes. So computing is more and more moving away from laptops or the computers that you might have, you know, your desktop computer on your desk at work or at home, and more into tablets and your mobile phones. And Facebook has recognized this, which I think is why they've paid so much for this product. And they're realizing, again, how important images are. Yeah. Images and videos are becoming far more popular in terms of how we communicate and share content online. And, you know, I don't think it would be surprising to see more of these purchases coming in the future.
My friend, next time I want to put our heads together and come up with the next big thing of ourselves.
Yeah, we may need more than half an hour. But,
if only. Now, here's an interesting take on Twitter and the rest of social media for that fact. The thoughts of Ray Ortland. Tell us about him.
Yeah, so Ray's a pastor in the States, and he's been reflecting in an interview about how he uses social media as a pastor and some of the positive and negative implications of this. He's recognised, as we all do, that the way that we use words on social media has a huge impact for good or for evil, and he says the sins of the tongue have never had more opportunity. And I think that's so true, that as Facebook and Twitter and other social media channels give us more of a voice, the opportunity for our tongues to offend and to hurt and to damage are only amplified. But he talks about how he uses it, and he says, what I aim at in using the media is another person being able to click in and click out quickly with maximum benefit to their souls. Everyone is so busy, but everyone matters. I want to ask little of them and add much to them. I'm there to serve, not to demand or impress, by giving them more of Jesus. And so his use of social media is very self-effacing. He's always thinking, how can I serve people with the content that I provide? Not as we are often criticizing people for just constantly using it to point to himself and what he's doing and how amazing he is.
Yeah.
And he reflects that he wants to be really intentional in his use of social media. And he says it's easy for the devil to change the subject with his wretched negativity. The more chances I and others in the church have to keep the conversation lifted up in a positive, Jesus-focused way, the better. I think it's a great way of thinking about it. You know, by using social media, we can control the conversation. We can share joyful, truthful news with the world. And this is the approach that he's decided to take.
No harm in that. Here's a question that I suppose on the surface of it might sound absolutely ridiculous with the hundreds, maybe with some people, thousands of friends that they have on Facebook. But maybe Facebook is making us lonely?
Yeah, there's a great article in The Atlantic recently that has been exploring this question with a whole bunch of research around it. And it's an interesting question for our listeners to reflect on. You know, where most of us are, I think over 10 million Australians are on Facebook now. But are we lonely? Do we feel alone? Do we have a social isolation that we thought with Facebook wouldn't actually exist? The article comments that loneliness and being alone are obviously not the same thing. So you can have lots of people around you. You can be married and still be lonely.
Yes.
But the article asks, is Facebook part of the separation of relationships, or is it part of the congregating? Is it a huddling together for warmth or a shuffling away in pain? Mm. I think that's a good question for us to think about. They compare Facebook to a car. So you can drive it to pick up your friends, or you can drive it alone. So you know, it's coming back again to that question of how you use the technology. But it asks a lot of questions about how we actually relate online. So do we use it just to watch what other people are doing or to point to ourselves, in which case we're not actually really developing relationships or getting to know people better? Yeah. Or are we using it intentionally to go deeper with particular people and using the information that people share to kind of add value to their lives? And so they make this great point. They say a connection is not the same thing as a bond, and that instant and total connection is no salvation, no ticket to a happier, better world or a more liberated version of humanity. And they conclude by saying, Facebook denies us a pleasure whose profundity we had underestimated. That is, the chance to forget about ourselves for a while, the chance to disconnect. And I think we've reflected on this a couple of times on the show, that the amount of connection and input that Facebook gives us does impact how we feel about ourselves and the world. And this article reflects, loneliness is one of those implications.
There is never a time when we talk that you don't get me, and I'm sure everyone else, thinking deeply. Steve Krieger, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.